Be'ezer Hashem's book will begin Perek Shisha, the sixth chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Torah Menitin, the laws of the claimant and the defendant in the Sefer Mishpatim Book of Judgment. Where in this part we begin a new topic regarding the back and forth in the litigation between the claimant and the defendant. Where in this part we discuss specifically regarding verifying the claims and regarding the idea of someone establishing a pattern that he is a liar, that he's denying the truth. As Rambam gives halacha alef regarding verifying the claims of the defendant. So, balei din and shebo lebezin. When you have litigants, when you have two parties coming to the court, one of them claims and he says, "Mana yeshli etzel zeh." There's 100 dinarim that I have by this guy. Shalvesev that I lent him, shavkadi etzlo, or that I deposited him, or shagozman, or he robbed from me, or yeshli etzel besachar, or he owes me some wages. Either way, b'chin case is anything similar like this. The heishav nitin ba'amar, and the defendant responds and he says, "Inichayv kum, I don't owe him anything. Or ein lachabiyad the kum, there's nothing that you have by me. Or yeshekat tatan, you're claiming falsehoods." So, that's not an appropriate response. He's just saying like some generic sweeping statement. Rather, the courts say to the defendant, "Look, he respond to his claim, and respond and specify." Commissioner Peter said to like he was specific regarding his claim. The emor and say, "Im you're just saying I don't. You got nothing by me. What say? Did you borrow from him or did you not borrow from him? Hivkad etzlocha, I lo hivkad. Did he deposit money by you? Did he not deposit? Gizalta or lo gizalta? Did you rob from him? Did you not rob from him? Scharta or lo schar? Did you hire him? Did you not hire him?" V'chein shar tanis, also all the claims. You have to respond to all the claims. Now, why don't they accept from him this blanket response, "I don't owe him nothing"? Because maybe he's mistaken in his understanding. And he's going to come to swear falsely for to defend his claim. Because shaharidei efshe, it is possible shehelbo k'mishaton. Could be he lent the money like the other guy's claiming. The could be he returned the money to his son or to his wife. So you're saying, "Oh, it's not true. He owes me money and is willing to swear." Well, how do you know? Maybe he gave him a gift amounting to the amount of the debt. He thinks, "Oh, that lets him off the hook. Okay, I gave him a gift that amount." If we tell him like this, look, "Hey, Echtaimer, how are you saying this? I don't owe him anything. Maybe you do owe him money to pay from the law. You just don't know." Okay, let the judges know exactly the specifics of the situation. And they'll let you know if you owe or if you don't know. Even if it's a great sage, they tell him, "Look, you're not going to lose out by responding to his claim. But let us know. What do you mean that you don't owe him? Because it never happened. It did happen, but you gave him back already. Shadei ani donim, because we qualify b'mitech sheyech aleim b'chol makom, where we always evaluate based on because what a person could have said, which is basically addressing the concerns and the fears that he might have to say certain things. Say, don't worry, we know how to look in and analyze this. We're not going to incriminate you for things that you're going to say. We say that he could have said, and therefore we just want to know on the specifics. It's not going to incriminate you." Now the Rambam continues regarding verifying the claims of the claimant. V'chein, so too goes the other way around. If the claimant says some type of general statement, "This guy owes me 100 dinarim. Or I have 100 dinarim by him." So we tell him, "Meiz upon him. Where are you coming from? He lent the money. If you gave him a deposit. He ruined your money. Emor, say, how does he owe you this money? Should he have, because it's possible that he's going to imagine he's going to think the guy owes him, but he doesn't really owe him. He suspects he stole from him. Or he said, "Oh, I'm going to give you 100 dinarim," and he didn't give him. That halacha, he does not obligate him. He says, "Oh, he owes me 100 dinarim." Well, wait, exactly. Tell us exactly what happened. Now the Rambam continues regarding what happens if he's presumed to be a liar. Harisha toinelav shalvam mano. If someone's making a claim on someone else that he lent him 100 dinarim, this guy responds and he says, "Never happened. I never borrowed 100 dinarim." And then the claimant brings witnesses that he lent in front of them. And then the slick guy, he responds and he says, "Wait a second, you're right. Of course I borrowed 100 dinarim. But Levisa Parati, I borrowed, but I paid back. Nah, we don't take that from him. He's been established as a liar. He's got to pay up." But let's say he responded, "I don't owe. You have nothing by me. You're lying in your claim." Anything like this, which is not saying I never owed or I never borrowed, I don't owe you now. And then the claimant goes and brings witnesses that he made the loan in front of them. And the defendant says, yeah, I can hire you. Of course I borrowed it. But I gave him back his deposit. I put out the chaybar. I paid him back his debt. He hasn't been established to be a liar. Could he could say when Ein Lecha B'Yadei Klum meant to say that, yeah, you don't have anything by me now because I paid you up. So Benish Behasas Beniftus, he could take the rabbinic oath of Hasas because he totally denied the claim and be exempt. Halacha Beis. Re'u Eidim Shemona Lemois. Let's say witnesses saw this guy count out for him monies to give to the other guy, and he gave it to him. But they don't know what those monies were. Now it's fine, but then Vamalai, now he's bringing him to court and he's saying, hey, tell him Moise Shabasicha, give me the money that I lent you. And I have witnesses that saw. Vamalai, the guy says, Matan Nasatli, yeah, you gave me, but you gave me a gift. I put on, you were paying me back, not lending me money. Sorry, he's believed, and there's behest of Nifta, and he can take Rabbinic Goth, and he's let off the hook. Omar, but let's say he says, this never happened, you never gave me 100 dinar. And then the witnesses abroad, that so he counted the money in front of them. He's been already established as a liar. He said it never happened. Now, however, a person does not get the status of presumed liar until he makes the denial in court. And then two witnesses come along and refute with what he's denying. Now, let's say someone says to another person, he says, look, I lent you 100 dinar. And kafa bebeznu am, and he denies in court, and he says, lahoj v'mayim, never happened, never let me the 100 dinar. Ubo shnei edim shalabim menu mano uparoi. Now, interesting case. Two witnesses come along and say, he did borrow from 100 dinar, but he paid him back. Now, v'amalvo im loy nefrati. The lender's saying, no, it wasn't paid back. So in this case, there is a chayv l'sham. The borrower has to pay back. Why is that? What do you mean? Do two witnesses say that he paid up? No. Because shakalo im, whoever says, like this guy originally said, loy levisa, I didn't borrow, and then witnesses come along and say that he did borrow. You said you didn't borrow. It's like you're saying you didn't pay. So although the thing you paid, you're admitting on your own. It comes out really the borrower saying, I didn't pay. Because he's saying you didn't borrow. If you didn't borrow, you didn't pay. Now, although the witnesses are admitting, are testifying that he did pay, it doesn't make a difference. It does, but then came Eidim Dami. The admission of the defendant himself is like 100 witnesses. And moreover, and the lender doesn't even have to swear that he didn't get paid up. Because the borrower has already been established as a liar because we have witnesses that he did borrow and that he has to pay without an oath. So too, let's say he produces his handwriting that he owes him money. And he says, the borrower says, this never happened. This is not my handwriting. If we establish that this is his handwriting in the courts, we produce witnesses that testify that this is his handwriting. Again, he's a liar. He's got to pay. We don't believe him in his denial. Halacha Dalet continues regarding forgetfulness and verifying in place of a denial. So if let's say the claimant says, Man hal b'sicha, look, I lent you 100 dinar. And it's by you. The defendant says, what do you mean? I already paid you up in front of this and this guy. And the witnesses come along and say, this never happened. We witnesses saw you paid up. What are you talking about? The borrower has not been established as a liar. Why not? Witnesses don't remember things only that they were designated to be witnesses. The fact that they don't remember, what do you mean? Don't you guys remember? I paid him back. Well, we don't remember. That doesn't prove that he's lying. The figure of Lehosakafin has not been established as a liar. And Vyashav Halayba has to be a potter. Now, he wanted to get off the hook by being witnesses. The witnesses are not helping him, but that doesn't establish him as a liar. So he has to take, as a kaifer bakoil generally does, the borrower takes a rabbinic oath and he's exempt. Kiyitzabai similar would be, telling Monashal Besicha. The lender says, look, give me the 100 dinar I lent you, but the mat b'tzad amad zed, because you were standing on the side of that pillar, remember we were there and by that pillar and you borrowed from me? And the defendant says, what are you talking about? I never even stood by the pillar. How could I have borrowed from you 100 dinar? Avoid, but then witnesses come along and say, not sure we could testify that he was there by that beam. That does not establish the borrower as a liar. Because no one pays attention to things that have no substance. Okay, could be I was there. That wasn't my main point. I just know I didn't borrow the money. And denying that is not something that refutes his integrity. In case there's anything like that, which is not so significant, that people don't remember that, and therefore that does not have significance to make him into a kafir. Halacha hey. Let's say, ten limona shabasicha. The claimant says, give me the 100 dinar that I lent you. And there are witnesses. Bama Nitin, and the defendant says, yes, there's witnesses, I know bars from you. I paid you up in front of that and that guy. So we tell the borrower, look, bring those witnesses and then you'll be exempt because they'll testify that you paid back. What happens if labor, they don't come, or they died, or they went to some other country, these two people that he claims that he paid back in front of them. So he shove a hes, okay, then he has to take a rabbinic oath that he paid him back. What do you mean? But you have two witnesses that he borrowed, and you don't have any witnesses that he paid him back. Because in on the matzichim islabim, we actually don't require the defendant to bring those two witnesses. That's el lavar dvar. That's only to verify his own claims. Uli pata af mishvu. That just would have exempted him from some oath. Because although those two witnesses that he borrowed, that doesn't refute two witnesses that he paid him back. But now that he doesn't bring them, he doesn't have to pay because he could just swear. Because shamavas chaver be'edim, even someone lends his friend money in front of witnesses, in a tzarch lefar be'edim, he does not have to pay him back in front of witnesses. Kamesh Banlog explained this in Perek Yud Aleph Mechaz Mavaleh Balocha Aleph. So all he does is he swears regarding the claim, and he's exempt. Halacha Vav continues, what happens if someone admits, but that was not his intention to admit? How so? So amalei b'fnei edim. Let's say the claimant says in front of witnesses, there's two people standing over there, and he says, man li b'yadcha, it's 100 dinam that I have by you. Amalei edim says, yes. L'mocha tvar b'din, next day he brings him to court. Vav edim brings the two witnesses who heard that exchange. Finally he says, what are you talking about? Mashad yisabach, I was fooling around with you. V'nacha b'yad klum, you have nothing by me at all. Pati is exempt. All he has to take a rabbinic oath that he doesn't owe him anything. And Vafilu Amar, even if he says, that never happened. Why is he off the hook? Sharilu Amalem, because he didn't tell those two people standing over there, Atim Edi, my witnesses. And therefore, Vadabe Shein Edi, something that's not quote unquote testimony, people don't remember it. Therefore, he says, which obviously was a lie, and the two witnesses refute that. The Hochzik Covenant would not establish him as a liar. And all he would have to do is swear that he doesn't owe the money, and he would be off the hook. Not only that, even if, let's say, the claimant, he comes up with a scheme. He hides two witnesses behind the wall. And he tells this guy on the other side of the wall, he doesn't see the witnesses, it's 100 dinar that you owe me, right? And he says, yes. He says, plainly, do you want to have, could we get witnesses to verify this idea that you owe me this money? Amalei says, no, no. What's going to happen is you're going to have witnesses. You're going to force me to come to court tomorrow. I don't have money to pay you. And guess what? The next day, he goes, brings his witnesses who were listening to the other side of the wall, and he took them to court. So, Bain Shatan Vama, whether the defendant claims and he says, Mashati Yisibai, well, I was fooling around with him. Or Bain Shama, whether he says, Lohid Vama, this never happened. He's a Nishba Heses Benifter. Again, he could just take a rabbinic oath and be let off the hook. Sheinkan Eidus, because you cannot qualify this as a testimony to show that this guy is lying regarding that. Only if the bar had said, Atam Eita, you guys are my witnesses. Or if the lender says that, you guys are my witnesses in front of the bar, and the bar is quiet. But this quote-unquote testimony, that does not establish him as a liar because that wasn't something significant that he would be responsible for because it wasn't designated as witnesses. Now, actually, there was a story with an individual. This was his nickname. Kav is a measurement, a large measurement of Rishoy of debt. Kolem, in other words, Sheyesh Olav Chayvus Harbe, that there was this claim that he had many debts that he owed. But that was his nickname. So Amma, this guy, trying to clear his name, he says, Wah, Mushani Chayvle, who do I owe money to? Ella Plaini, but this one guy. So voice a plainer twice. So that guy comes and brings him to court. Vamahu, and the defendant says, Nah, in a Chayvle, I don't owe him anything. Vamah Chacham, the sage said, Yeshua Hesav Yipatah, he could take a rabbinic oath and be exempt. The fact that he said this, again, since he didn't say it in a way of a declaration of testimony or with witnesses, it doesn't have any halachic standing. If there was an individual that, they said, wow, this guy has a lot of money. So B'shas Mesasi Am, at the time of his death, he said, Meh, if I really was that I had so much money, wouldn't I have paid up that guy and that guy that I owe the money to and I'm passing away over here? Obviously, I don't have money. So after his death, so those two guys who heard that he claimed that he owed the money, they came to court to say, hey, that wealthy guy passed away, said he owes money. The sages said, no, they don't get anything. Why? Because it's normal for a person to make himself visible as if he doesn't really have money. And that he didn't leave over his sons of that they're men of wealth, because he doesn't want them to feel confident and to feel gregarious and to just spend money as if they have no worries. All the similar types of things. The fact that a guy makes an admission doesn't really have halachic standing. Although we said in the prior halacha that if someone hides witnesses, that's not quote-unquote testimony to establish certain criterion. And v'chein amoy de'ba'atzmoy. So the guy makes his own admission, like we said. V'edim shem meis and witnesses here. Or v'chein amel l'chaveh b'fnei edim. Someone says to his friend in front of witnesses, man li bi'atcha, there's 100 dinarim that I have by you. V'amalai hen, he says, yes. So b'chol ha'dvarim creates them. Regarding all these cases and similar types of cases, however, although we said it does not have halachic obligations, but in spite of that, k'shivoy lebezin, so when they do come to court, so amel nitra, we say to the defendant, l'mon le'sitin ma'asher yesh le'yatzcha, why don't you give him what he has by you? Amel says, what do you mean? He has nothing by me yet, at all. So amel, they tell him, but you said in front of these individuals, kach v'kach, this and this, you admit on your own. So although we said it's not enforceable, as we explained in a moment, but we still use it as something as to say, well, you admitted. So if he gets up and he pays because he's like, yeah, I admitted, or the world witnesses, I'm to fine. And if he doesn't make a claim to defend himself, ain't we don't make a claim for him. The courts don't speak up and say to the claimant, oh, you bring proof that he wasn't just fooling around with you. But if he claims and he says, like we had mentioned before, when I was just fooling around with him, it never happened. My whole intent was I shouldn't satiate myself. I didn't want to appear like I was wealthy. Oh, then pata, then he's going to be exempt, like we said. And he's going to only take rabbinic oath, too much man, like we explained. But it's just only if he makes such a claim. If not, then look, if he pays, he pays. And we're not going to come up with a claim to defend him with these types of claims.